Hi, everyone. I'm Brené Brown, and I'd love to tell you about my podcast, Dare to Lead. Innovation, creativity, building a better, more just world, all of these things require absolutely courageous leadership, especially given the complexity and chaos of the world right now. The Dare to Lead podcast is a collection of conversations with change catalysts, culture shifters, some troublemakers, folks who are really daring to create and change the world. I hope you join us.
Besties.
Stop. It's in the outro. We recorded in the outro, didn't we? And
hello, everyone, and welcome to the very special GDC edition of The Besties. I'm Vox Games Managing Editor Justin McElroy, and I know the best game of the week.
I'm Russ Frushtick, Senior Editor of Vox Games, and I know the best game of the week.
I'm Christopher Plant, also a Senior Editor of Vox Games, and my game's really good!
You say your name was really good or your game?
My game is really good.
Okay. My name's Chris Grant, and it rhymes with Chris Plant. And so my name is really good, but also I've got a really good game to share with you guys on this week's The Besties.
Oh, and what do you do here?
Oh, sorry, I'm the editor chief. Bye.
Chris is a guestie this week. We have him flown in specifically because Griffin could not be here. He's in Austin. We're in beautiful San Fran, riding a trolley together, just four friends.
We're on the trolley, right?
Yeah,
that's good.
Earthquake! Oh.
We did! Did you guys wake up for the earthquake?
Yeah, there was an earthquake.
It was pretty jacked, right?
There were two earthquakes, back to back.
Yeah.
Size four.
I didn't feel it, guys. I was busy hanging with Danny Tanner and DJ and the guys.
Yeah, in the house.
Yeah, and the Zodiac Killer.
Yeah, we were just having a good time.
So
Comet was being a silly dog
just running around. So every week on The Besties, we talk about the best games we played that week. We try to make them new, ideally, new games.
Fresh.
And once we've selected our favorite, then we pit that game against the current bestie. Chris, what is the current best game of the year?
The current bestie is SSX. The game in which you snowboard down a hill with the ghost of your dead father.
Okay, that's good. So it's kind of like the Hamlet of snowboarding, in short.
Or the ghost dad of snowboarding.
Ghost dad of snowboarding.
Both classics.
Both written by Shakespeare.
We actually, so two notes this week. One, we have a new wrinkle to our voting system at the end of the week. Players can no longer vote for their own game when we're choosing the game of the week.
Why was I not informed of this?
I just came up with it. Someone suggested it on Twitter, and I think it's a hell of an idea.
And also, no politicking allowed, would be to try to game the system or rig future votes.
You mean Survivor style?
Yeah, you can't promise a vote down the line.
Okay.
Actually, that is still under debate with the Rules Council.
What?
I'm sorry. The Swedish judge came in very late in the process.
Wow.
He vetoed. So we're still debating on politics.
Great.
Yeah, it's the Besties Council. There are, of course, Besties branches in most of the countries across this great land.
In the 48 states.
The other hiccup this week is we are here at GDC. So we thought that instead of talking about the new games that are released, that are coming out, that we're playing, that you can buy on retail shelves right this second, we'll talk about the games that we played.
And the GDC is an acronym for the Game Developers Conference, which not everyone knows about, which is a place where game developers come from around the world, show their wares to each other. Some of them are great. Most of them are not as great.
The game developers? Or you mean the games themselves?
Both.
Okay.
No, the game developers tend to be pretty friendly. Some of the games tend to be incredible. And those are going to be the ones that we're going to be talking about. Because each of us has played a game that we feel deserves to be the bestie. Even though some of these haven't been released.
I should.
We are bending the rules a little bit.
As a matter of fact, I don't think any of these have been released.
No.
Yeah. I'll also say, I'm pretty sure I don't even think my game is coming out this year.
Right. Or, you know, some of these might never come out. So we're going to give you recommendations for games you'll never play.
Ghost games. These are games
for... Ghost games for ghost ads.
Yeah.
So, in the past we've done 3 minutes. I feel like that felt a little lugubrious. I think we need to trim it down to 2 minutes.
Okay, that sounds good.
2 minute pitches? How's that sound?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Who wants to kick it off?
I think the winner should kick it off.
The winner should start, yes.
I'm more than happy. Are you ready to tie me?
Go!
Okay, my game of the week is called Showdown Effect. And here's kind of the elevator pitch. Take Super Smash Brothers and then combine it with like 1980s, 1990s action movies. So you have these big, giant open worlds based off of these classic set pieces like kind of Neo Tokyo from Blade Runner. And then the characters, up to 8 online, are kind of... tropes from other movies, not tropes, but kind of stock characters. So you have like the hard-boiled New York cop, and then the man who's lost his identity and lost his wife too. And each one has their own abilities and kind of one-liners that they give, which are kind of your taunts in Super Smash Brothers. The difference being obviously that there's a lot more weapons. So instead of it being close combat, it's kind of range combat with shotguns and rocket launchers and machine guns. And the block move, instead of just being like a fucking orb around their head, is these kind of like Matrix-style or Hong Kong-style dodge moves. So the game comes down to using these dodges where you're bending reality and like falling out of windows and stuff to evade bullets just long enough to shoot someone in the face. And to share a little moment out of it, because I think it's important to show what you can have done in the game, I played this for like 30 seconds, and within those 30 seconds, I was already dodging bullets, grabbed a man, shoved him out of an 8-story office complex, onto the floor, through a glass ceiling, and then onto a subway, pulled out a shotgun, and blasted him in the face. And you can pick that up all in like 30 seconds of time. There's like no difficulty of learning the controls, which I think is pretty damn amazing. So you get... familiar gameplay, Super Smash Brothers. You get familiar characters from every movie that you've ever loved, and you get all these badass things that ideally you'll be able to load up onto YouTube and make yourself a little action star. And that's pretty damn good.
Time. You're done.
Chris, that sounds interesting. What is the graphic sort of aesthetic?
It's two-dimensional, but it's 3D graphics, and there's lots of bloom lighting. It's lots of
J.J. Abrams
is
going to love
this
one.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's very pretty. It kind of looks like an Unreal game, which is a weird thing to say, but just it looks like almost a 2D version of Shadow Complex-y almost.
Okay, so I remember there was a game on Xbox Live Arcade where you played as, like, furries, basically, with guns. I think it was called Small Arms. I also remember that it sounded a little bit like that, and it was also terrible.
Yes. But no, I will give you that. The difference being this is developed by Europeans.
What was Small Arms developed by?
I don't know. Probably some people in Miami.
Furries?
I don't know. Definitely.
So who's the developer of this new?
I know it's being released by Paradox Interactive.
Clearly you've done your research because you don't know the name of the
developer. So wait, if it's Paradox, is it going to be a PC game?
It is a PC game.
PC only?
Well,
a Smash Brothers style game only on the PC.
No, that's
perfect because it's the year 1996, so we're gonna love this one.
No, okay, it's also on Mac. I believe it will be coming to Mac also.
Oh, good. So PC
and the gaming mecca. The people love the Mac games.
Yeah.
And you'll be able to play it with friends on your work computer. Which, hey, what else are you playing on your work computer?
Okay, at least that'll make the voting easy.
They did say there may come a time where it's released on Xbox.
Yeah, when Quetzalcoatl comes back and swallows me. Russ, what is your game?
Okay, my game is a little game called Spelunky. You may know this game if you're a fan of indie games, because it actually, in a way, came out several years ago. In a way. It came out on PC several years ago. But
as
now,
we all know, PC does not count.
You're right.
It's a gaming
you're right. That's why I'm ignoring that release and only talking about the Xbox Live Arcade game, which is what I played this week for the first time. Spelunky is a 2D platforming game where you control... he looks like Indiana Jones... little cartoony style, but he's cute. He's got a whip, he's got a hat, he's got a rope. And your objective is basically to explore caves looking for treasure, saving ladies, if you will, killing bats that fly at you randomly. Now the twist here is that you only get one life. If you die, that's it. You start from the beginning. So it's brutally difficult, but rewarding. There's some X factors that they've thrown into the Xbox Live Arcade game that wasn't in the PC one, which we're ignoring. First of all, obviously the graphics much improved. They're HD. They're very pretty. The more interesting thing is that it has co-op multiplayer for up to four people, where you can basically journey for as long as you can with four other people. If they die, you got to ditch them, or you can carry their bodies for extra points. How many games out there let you carry bodies for extra points? You can even revive them if you find a casket. Let's see, you can break into stores and steal jetpacks from stores, because there are stores in the caves. And, there's deathmatch too. Four-player deathmatch. It's like Bomberman. How much time do I have? 6 seconds? Penises.
That has no bearing.
First question. What would stop me from killing you in Spelunky and carrying your body around for all those extra points?
Okay.
Because I feel motivated to get some mad points.
Here's the thing. You can do that.
How would you... You would never play again then?
No. Well, you won't get as high a score. If you work together, you'll get a better chance.
Than me. But I wouldn't get all the points.
No, but you would lose overall. It's more of a war. It's not a battle. So it's teaching you to work together. But if you don't want to work together, you want to be a jerk, you can do that too. It's up to you.
So it's got flexibility.
Flexibility, yes.
What is the time waste factor? And by that I mean, how many hours of time could I put into it, then die, and then lose?
Feasibly, your entire life. So you could play this game forever, and then die and lose and have to start from scratch.
Oh,
so is there any persistence?
Yes, there is. There are certain points that you can unlock that are like checkpoints where you can skip sort of ahead. But I don't know that that's true. That was in the PC one. The PC one had persistence. I just made that up. But there's probably some persistence.
So it's like a roguelike.
It is absolutely a roguelike. It's inspired by roguelikes. A rogue, if you will. That's why it's like
a
rogue.
Can you beat this game?
Yes, there is an end.
How long do I have to play this game?
I don't know. I haven't beaten it yet.
Doesn't sound like we have an expert in the room.
I just played a half hour. How long did you play your game that you don't know the developer of?
I know. I beat it. Shot the guy. He said...
I'm sure somewhere in Poland they're crying over the fact that you don't know their name.
And they said, you win the round. You kill this guy. And I got 5-4. Done.
Well, you can play Deathmatch. I won several matches of Deathmatch.
Sounds like dog crap.
It's terrific.
It sounds pretty good. Chris. Guest. Guesty.
Chris Grant.
Give me a taste.
So my game is The Witness by Thecla, I think, which is Jonathan Blow's new development studio. Since unlike Brave, which was made with two people for a long time, just him and then an artist, this game's going to be made by something like 15 people. With a pretty healthy sized budget, like $2 to $3 million. It is it's a fully 3D puzzle game. Think basically Myst, or probably more realistic, like real Myst, where you can actually walk around. You walk around this island. It's all very mysterious and very solitary. You solve these puzzles that are on panels. And even in the short time I played it, which is about 30 or 40 minutes, you start to see the complexity of the puzzles really increasing, you start learning, and the game kind of teaches you in a very elegant way how to solve more and more complicated puzzles, and you use those to stack them to solve and kind of gain entry to new parts of the island. So in the short time I played it, I learned a bunch of different puzzle mechanics. I've had a bunch of different areas, when Mr. Blow came back in and sort of gave me a tour of the full island and pulled up and showed me all these different areas. He said it was about a 10 to 20 hour game, depending on how good you were at puzzles, basically.
Shorter if you're better at puzzles or longer?
I think shorter if you're better at puzzles because you'll beat them quicker. I'm going to ask the judges for an extra 10 seconds. It was interesting. It was very much like a distillation of a kind of classic adventure game mechanics, something like Myst, but you know the puzzles are almost overtly expressed as actual puzzles in the real world. Your inventory is removed, and you're using puzzles as the means of kind of access to new areas and getting past things. And it seemed like a very interesting, sophomore effort follow up to Braid. The Witness.
Okay, interesting. I feel like we should kick back, though. We've been talking about games for a little while.
Yeah. It's three games in a row. First off, we'll follow up on Witness. Let's talk about Witness.
Okay, fine.
We'll take a little break.
Good thinking.
Sounds whack.
Yeah, I'll be honest, really, really tired before you started describing that. And now I might be dead.
It's like...
What's more than tired is
dead. It's like a bunch of puzzles. Like, I can get you my Gammy's Sudoku, but, like, my Nani Sudoku is, like, $3.99 at Rite Aid. So I can just get you that, and you can be puzzling the night away.
Yeah.
No, but think about it. 15 people made these puzzles.
It doesn't matter. My boy Will Shorts cranks out 15 of those motherfuckers every week. He doesn't give a shit. He'll crank out puzzles.
So, the puzzles are... it's interesting. There's a sort of story that's being layered on top of the gameplay. So, you find a little book or there's the mystery of the island itself, which was sort of the curiosity of Myst.
Wait, you just sidestepped something. Am I going to have to read? Is that what you're going to have to find a book? Wait. I mean, there's a mystery of the island.
I'm trying to say you find audio recorders.
It's like Neverhood. You have to walk past like an 80 screen long wall and read the whole story.
No, there's audio recorders that deliver a story to you.
Ooh, like
there's,
audio? I like that.
Yeah,
I like hearing.
Yeah, I like listening.
There's mutant freaks that you shoot.
Really?
Yeah, you didn't get that part?
No, I didn't get to that part.
Are you a laser babe?
I think he's lying.
Are you a laser babe?
So, if you like the cut of Myst jib. But think, what would Myst look like today if it was updated, and if it was an art game?
Which is more fascinating, this game or a sensory deprivation tank? So basically, this game or nothing.
literally nothing. The absence of stimuli.
I'm going to go with this game.
Okay.
I know it's a controversial pick, but I really enjoyed it. I didn't know what to expect, and I found myself enjoying.
Guys, I want to be fair here. His game has a lot of thing going for it. It's got puzzles.
It's got a lot of thing going for it.
It's got puzzles.
Puzzles.
It's got the up to date gameplay of Myst. Cutting edge.
It has the combination of red, yellow, and blue to create a sensory of colors on the screen.
That's all three primary colors. There's no more primary colors to stick in there.
I do want to bring up one other point, though.
Yes.
I know the name of the developer.
Really?
That's just an interesting point.
I also know the name of the developer, worth noting.
No, you know the name of the man who's developing the game.
No, I know the name of my game's developer.
Oh, okay.
It's called Moss Hive. You're Googling it.
No, I'm not.
He needs to Google to find out who made his pick.
I also found the name of the studio that made Small Arms Out. Do you know what it is?
Oh, I don't actually.
It's Gastronaut Studios. They're in Washington.
Oh, they're in Washington.
It's funny. They were founded in Capitol Hill, Washington, D.C., and they relocated to Capitol Hill, Seattle.
That's weird.
How many Capitol Hills are there?
Also, furries.
How's your guys' second time out? How's your week been?
It's been busy. I was a little scared about the earthquake, but since then it's been okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I had some really good salads.
Can we talk about those?
Absolutely we can. There's a really good salad place. I guess it's a chain in San Francisco called Specialties. By the way, this show is sponsored by Specialties.
And what's their specialty?
Salads. And they also make a really good semi-sweet chocolate chip cookie.
That's good. I don't like too much sweetness. I'm 90.
When I want a cookie, I want it to be bland.
This cookie is just the right amount of bitter.
Oh, yeah. I would hate to be too happy.
I don't want to be. I don't have too much fun. I'm on vacation after all. I'm not. When I was in high school, we would sell candy, and I once sold my Spanish teacher a bag of Skittles. 3 months later, she said, "I still have half the bag of Skittles you gave me, you sold me. And I was like, oh, really? She's like, yeah, I have to cut them in half. They're too sweet.
So she opened the bag of Skittles and left it open for 3 months?
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure she wrapped it up maybe with like a
oh, yeah. Anyone who's cutting Skittles in half knows how to use tinfoil.
Yeah, you're vacuum sealing that ass.
It also doesn't make them less sweet to cut them in half.
No, well, no, I know, but it's like she couldn't handle the rush. Oh,
she probably actually let it sit and cost some water, and then she drank it.
So it's funny to joke about it. It's funny to joke about it, but what if she actually had a super advanced, almost evolved, sugar intake mechanism?
You're saying that what if she was a super taster?
You didn't even say taste. You said intake mechanism, which makes me think...
Like a promiscuous?
She has pressed it against her forehead and then just absorbs by her skin.
Yeah, well, I'm saying, like, what if your body processes sugar in such a way that you're like, I could eat a lot of Skittles, no big deal. What if a single Skittle from her gave her the strength to flip a bus?
Does sugar do that?
Hey, if she doesn't for you or I... I'm trying to ask you to expand your horizons.
Yeah.
And think about what...
You think she's an X-Men.
I hate to poke a hole in this logic, but what does super taste have to do with super strength?
No, I'm saying... I said intake. It's how your body takes that sugar.
Now you're talking about how she metabolizes.
I'm not talking about how... Exactly. You nailed it.
Yeah. Metabolize.
Yeah, but that has to do with like the way your body takes that sugar into it. And then uses it, I guess. I don't know. I'm not a doctor. Guys, I write about video games.
It's like doing a show with Philip K. Dick. It's amazing.
What I'm asking you to do is just consider that Justin's teacher was probably a superhero.
By the way, everyone, Arrowhead is the name of the development studio.
Oh, that's great.
They made Magicka, which is a game I love, which makes it even worse that I would...
That
I
is embarrassing. Delay.
And then they also, I think, partnered with another studio called Pixel Diet.
Are you sure about that?
I'm pretty sure.
Is Google sure?
Count on Arrowhead. Semi-count on Pixel Diet.
Okay. this week, first off, I wanted to say that my game last week was Code Runner, and I had a meeting. I had a meeting with the entire Code Runner development team today. I had lunch with... Well, not lunch. They had lunch, and I was just sitting at the table. All three of the Rocket Chicken development team.
Wow.
And they listened to the show, and they were honestly a little hurt. That it lost, and everyone was so dismissive. So just reminded everybody to go out and buy Code Runner. It's $1.99 this week.
I'm going to try it out.
Okay. Give it a shot.
I think you really like it. They deserve a fair shot.
I spoke to the Waking Mars people today. And
I met their audio guy outside of the noodle place.
Oh, you did. Bobby. Their programmer, David Kalina, had not listened to the show and sort of mocked me for everything that I did. So,
that's not very nice.
I know. But he made a great game, so check it out.
So check it out.
What do you got this week, J-Mo?
I'm trying to remember.
You don't even remember what game you're bringing. This is really a dynamite pick you got here.
Riveting.
The only game I played is like...
What?
Can't talk about Spider-Man. Can't talk about the Tura. So I saw a Sorcery. That looks...
Wow.
Sorcery is a game where you cast spells with the move, and you... Like...
We can just have you stop there.
45 left.
Hold on, let me get something better than that. I can't think of anything really fun I played.
You already started on Sorcery.
Sorcery is a game where you cast spells with the move, okay? So they've aged up the hero. It's been on hiatus, basically. It's been in hibernation. So they aged up the character. He's now like the sorcerer, the titular sorcerer. He's now a like teenager. And the combat system is actually fairly deep. You have 5 different spells. You have lightning, fire, ice, earth, and there's like a basic
heart.
Wind, heart. Actually. And there's different spells call for different situations. If you come up against an enemy with a shield, for example, you can cast an earth spell at them. And casting is basically just to flick your wrist. And most spells have an area of effect attack where you can swipe it across the ground. Like if you've got the fire selected, you can swipe across the ground and create a line of fire that enemies have to walk through. There's also with the wind spell, you can layer the different spells. So if you cast the area of effect with the wind spell, it makes a tornado. You cast fire into it, it creates a fire tornado, and that you can actually blow around and into enemies. So there is a certain level of like, and you can, there's levels of strategy. Like you can freeze an enemy and then fire your basic arcane bolts out of him, and they will ricochet away. So a game that wasn't super interesting before now looks like it has like an interesting combat system, and the aesthetics are much improved, and it doesn't look nearly as kiddie as it used to.
Oh God, it's over.
Question about the game. I actually think the way you pitched it sounded interesting.
Okay.
How absent of joy is it to actually play it?
No, it's fun. I actually had a good time. The only thing that is kind of weird is in the actual casting of spells, there's not a targeting mechanism per se. So if there's a guy up high, like he has the height advantage on you, you kind of cast overhand to try to hit him. And sometimes the angles on it just did not work very well.
Do you think maybe because you don't enjoy sport?
No, I love sport. I'm Mr. Sports.
Mr. Sport. Hoops is what I call you.
And you can do like trick shots, for example. So if you do like an overhand or like around the side, you know,
spin
you can
shot.
Loop.
Yeah, yeah.
So what you're saying is that this is bowling for nerdy kids with PlayStation moves.
No, there's a lot of...
You can do a hook. It's on your wrist.
There's a lot of depth to the combat. There's an alchemy system that's actually kind of neat.
That sounds neat.
It's what you use for leveling. So you get three ingredients and you mix them in a bottle and you drink the bottle and you actually have to shake it up. And it changes the color indicator. So it was like a potion. You shake it up and the top turns red and then you drink
wow.
it.
I wish you could see what just went down.
This is like a shake weight, guys.
The shaking was going down by his ding dong and then the drinking was going a little side of his mouth.
All right.
With the red top on your PlayStation move.
What I'm saying is it's coming out May 22nd and everybody should tune in. I think it's going to shock the world.
Your enthusiasm did raise over the course of this.
While talking.
I was remembering how fun it was.
Justin's a consummate performer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he knew that he had to pull something
build to out. Build to a climax, if you will.
Snake oil.
The color of the moon.
Come on.
Oh, I've got some sorcery for you. I'll turn your move nozzle from green to red.
It's neat when it happens.
Maybe if you slurp it down, it'll make you feel all better. No? Well, it's worked for the old people down in Chuffetown. Oh, no, that doesn't sound good at all.
It sounds
like I'm getting duped.
Here's what I just think it's going to be, speaking of PC games, is a small platform.
Yeah.
Why? Because it's on the move?
Lots of people have moves.
Yeah, I mean lots.
Yeah, lots of people.
They just announced 10 million move devices sold here at GDC, and that 10 million includes, here's how you know they don't have a lot of sales. That 10 million included the navigation controller.
So double. There's many people just buying the navigation controller alone is what they're like trying to.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Sure.
And of course, like, so if you have a move controller and a navigation controller and a second move controller, it's three devices per person. So. Yeah.
And if you want to do like archery for two people, that's four move devices.
It's just kind of. I don't know.
Okay. So I think it's time to take a preliminary vote.
Okay.
What's everybody's? What's Russ? Let's start with you. What's your gut?
And I can't vote for myself.
Oh no. No more.
Of the games that I have heard, I guess Chris Plant's game probably sounds the best.
Yeah!
What the hell?
Hello.
It's coming out on PC and it's
just... Oh shit, I forgot about that.
No. All these are coming out on PC.
No, that's not true. Mine's XBOA.
Mine's a PS3 game.
I have played The Witness and I actually do really like The Witness.
Yeah, but don't...
Even though I made fun of it earlier.
Why'd you make fun of it then?
I think you should go with what your gut was. Go with your gut.
No, I hated Small Arms so much, and I think it's like Small Arms.
No,
sorcery.
No.
Yes!
What?
Yes!
No way.
It's still not The Witness?
You actually...
What?
You actually...
Get rid of it.
The witness might never come out.
Chris Plant, your turn.
Don't be political. I was really happy to give it to Spelunky.
You should. Don't be political.
Because I really do think that's the game.
It is.
That is the best game of this week. I really do. Here's the thing.
No.
Last minute rule change. The judges in Sweden, they messed it all up.
Yeah.
Now I'm deeply concerned about my chances for winning. So I think I'm going to have to just split the vote and give it to Witness.
Whoa.
Well, Witness, hey, that's a good game.
Whoa.
Did I tell you that it's a lot like Myst?
Whoa.
It's good.
Chris.
So if I vote for Chris Grant's game, it rhymes with Chris Plant.
No. Unacceptable. Right. Sorry.
Well, interesting.
Go on gut.
Go on your gut.
On quality feeling.
I'm going on gut. And here's the thing. I think I'm not a Smash Brothers guy. So you say Smash Brothers, and I say, meh.
Yeah.
Not interested. I think Sorcery sounds like a train wreck.
Oh, okay.
Every part of it sounds like the worst idea. Spelunky sounds like it might not be my kind of game.
Oh.
I hear, like, roguelike, and you die, and you start from the beginning, and I'm kind of like, well.
Yeah.
I'm a busy man. I'm jet-setting, globe-trotting.
There's Deathmatch, too. You can play that in 5 minutes.
Here's the things I know. I know that every once in a while, Fresh is like, yeah, try this game. And I'm like, Fresh, that sounds stupid. He's like, trust me, it's a solitaire game that you play, but it's like with golf. And I'm like, that sounds like those are my two least favorite things in the world, but it's pretty good. So I think if he's going to say that this stupid game where you die and you have to die in real life is the best game of the week, I'm inclined to agree with him. So my vote is Spelunky.
I think I see where this is going. I think I'm seeing the first ever four-way tie.
What? Who'd you pick?
I picked the Witness.
Now Witness sounds pretty good.
What?
Yeah, Witness.
No.
That's pretty good. Woo! Yeah, congratulations,
guys. Witness
to our very first ever guesty winner, Chris Grant.
I'm like crushed.
I pulled it out.
The Witness. It sounds fun.
I did not see this coming.
Why did you pick the Witness?
Games. How did you not see it coming?
I mixed my ones and my twos.
Plus, what if Jonathan Bull hears about it? He's like, good job, guys.
He'll be very like staid when he tells us how much.
Now, here's the real question. Is the Witness better than the ability to keep your dead dad alive?
You know what's a shame is that in Spelunky, you can play with people on multiplayer, as I've mentioned, but you could also, they can die, and
in real life,
they can be brought back to life.
Here's a good thing. Here's a good thing for Grumpy Pants over here, little big baby.
Yeah.
The game is coming out in months. Maybe it'll make a comeback appearance when it's actually...
Oh, that's true.
Here's the other thing I'll say about The Witness. It's a mystery.
If it will ever come out.
There's tape recorders of somebody's voice talking to you on it. Who's to say that's not somebody's dead dad?
That's a stretch. SSX literally lets you have your dad play, save his ghost times, and then race against him after he passes away. That's not something The Witness can live up with.
Legit.
That's legit.
And you can do it while listening to the song Tricky.
Okay, so how about this? The Witness is a really sad game, maybe, because it seems like it might be, and so maybe it's about somebody's dad dying.
There are a lot of maybes.
Yeah.
I
just don't know, because it's a mystery, guys. That's the whole point.
It sounds neat, but unfortunately, I have to stick with SSX.
Yeah, I'm going to go with SSX.
I think it's SSX.
All right, so our still reigning game of the year...
Sorry, Jay Blow, I tried.
...is SSX. Chris Grant, thank you so much for joining us on the Besties.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Polite clapping.
And for next week, I'm sure there are a few people listening who are going, this game came out this week from BioWare named Mass Effect. It was supposed to crush SSX. And for you... what I want you to know is, don't worry, I Am Alive is coming next week.
We're going to bring some gems.
We're bringing back the best stuff next week. You're going to have to listen in.
Have you guys heard of Pinochle?
Well, what if I mixed it with golf?
Fresh Chicks back next week with backgammon. Check it out.
Backgammon hockey. It's a refresh thing joint.
It's actually a first-person shooter. It's excellent.
If you want some actual, real, insightful analysis and critique and news about games. You can go to theverge.com/gaming. That is the temporary Vox Games home. We will have our own home later this year. And we'd ask that you follow us on Vox Games on Twitter. It's at Vox Games. And we're on Facebook too, /Vox Games. But thank you guys so much for listening. And we'll be back next Friday on Besties. Because shouldn't the world's best friends choose the world's best games?